Well, it's good to be here with y'all this morning. It's been a little while since I've spoke here. Been up a few times for meetings and stuff, but it's been a pretty good while since I have spoken up here. I think Brother Morris has came up the last few times y'all needed some help. He's came up and spoke, but it's good to be here today. It's good. I'm glad we could make the trip up this weekend. I always enjoy coming up and speaking. Sometimes it's good to kind of get away from the home crowd there at home and speak somewhere else. But as I said, I'm glad I could be here today. Today we're going to start out talking a little bit about, back in the old days, back in the settlement days, back whenever people were just starting to settle here. I guess Jamestown, Virginia, we'll use it for a reference this morning. You know, back in those days, you know, when they were establishing churches, you know, religious was pretty important in those days. You know, they were, if you missed a church service, you know, someone was going to be coming by to see you just a little while wondering why, you know, why you wasn't at church service. And you know, not only that, there were consequences to missing church services back then. And church services back then were a little different than they were today. You know, usually it was an all-day event, you know, whenever you went. It was several hours. And, you know, as I said, you know, everyone, you know, kind of living in those little towns or those little settlements were expected to attend church. And there were penalties for that. You know, they'd even go as far as they would ration some people's food if they didn't show up to church service on Sunday. That would kind of be the first step. And then usually if they missed another service, they would even go as far as some people were whipped for not coming to church. You know, and punishments went on down, but you know, now I'm not saying we need that today. I don't think anyone, you know, wants to be whipped for not attending the church service today. But, you know, in saying that, I think sometimes we went too far the other way. You know, we've gone so far the other way till we don't even think about missing the church service. You know, we don't even think about the consequences, you know, to our spiritual lives if we miss the church service. You know, it's become, I guess, too complacent maybe that, you know, we don't think about it that much. And I'm not sure about here, but I know at home, you know, we kind of have that problem, you know. We probably, if we had everyone on a Sunday morning that attended our church throughout, just say the month, if everyone showed up on one Sunday, we'd have a packed building. But, you know, we have some that are here this Sunday and some that are missing and some that'll be back the next Sunday, and some that were there before will be missing, and so forth and so on. But, you know, I think that's become a problem today that we don't even think about those things. You know, we put a lot of worldly things ahead of attending church service. You know, if we decide we want to do something else, we just go and do it, and we don't realize the consequences or think about the consequences to missing a church service. But we have to remember that, you know, we're assembled here on Sundays for a reason. And He expects us to be here. And He has commanded us to be here. But, you know, with that being said, we're going to move on into talking a little about sin. You know, there was a guy who wrote a book titled, Whatever Became of Sin. You know, that's something else that has become a little complacent today, because we go through our lives and, you know, there's some things that we probably do that on a daily basis that we don't even think about being sin. You know, it's little things that we do every day that we don't really think about that is sin, and right on down to there's a lot of things that go on in this world today that, you know, we've kind of become tolerant of sin. You know, we don't think much about it. We just kind of overlook it and we go on. But, You know, sin now is the same as sin was back then, you know, back when Jesus walked this earth. You know, it was the same. Sin is sin. And as Christians, we know that we shouldn't sin. You know, I think about here at the meeting y'all had, we came up a few weekends ago when Brother Terry was here, and he had a real good lesson on that, how that the world has come real tolerable of things, and you know, and sin is one of those things that we have become tolerable of, and we even ourselves do without even thinking, you know, things that we sin and we do, and you know, we kind of go on and we do those things and we just kind of blow it off, and you know, God will forgive us for it. You know, that's His job. That's what He does. You know, we can't look at those things that way. Let's turn over this morning into Luke. Luke in chapter 23. We're going to begin reading in verse 32. Luke chapter 23. Let's begin reading in verse 32. Back on up about verse 27 again there. Verse 27. He says, "And there followed him a great company of people, and of women which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming, and thee which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps that were never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with him, derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him, and offered him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. You know, we go through our lives here and we don't think much about, as we've talked about this morning, you know, we don't think much about missing service. We don't sometimes sin. You know, we don't really think about those things, but I want you to think about this morning as Jesus was hanging on that cross, going through the pain and suffering He would for us, you know, and going through the punishment He had and the suffering, you know, not for Himself, but for us, you know, for every one of us sitting here in this building this morning. But while He was going through this and while He was suffering, you know, He wasn't worried about Himself. You know, He wasn't worried about, you know, how much longer He had to hang there on that cross. He even had the presence of mind. And there in verse 34, He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, as He went through this, and you know, He still wasn't worried about Himself. As I said, you know, He had the presence of mind to ask forgiveness for all those that had put Him there. You know, for all those that had done those things to Him. I want you to think about it this morning in terms of ourselves. If that was us hanging there, you know, we'd probably kind of be the other way. You know, we'd want revenge for all those that had done that to us. You know, and that's kind of the way the world looks at it today. You know, we would want them to be punished. You know, while we were hanging there, we'd be more worried about ourselves and the pain we were going through and the suffering that, while we were there and what was going on to us. But Jesus wasn't. He was still worried about those around him. He was still worried about those people's souls around him at that time. You know, when Jesus came and he walked this earth, you know, he done things a little different than we did. You know, and he carried himself a little different than we do in this world today. You know, he saw things differently than we did. You know, we can't see things really the way that he saw them. You know, his thoughts and the things that he done, and you know, are not things that we can do. We can't even conceive to have the thoughts that he had and to do the things that he done. And, you know, for those things, the world, even back then, couldn't really stand him, could they? They didn't understand him. So they wanted to pull him down to their level, just like we do today and the way we do God today. You know, we want to bring him down and make him think the way we think and do the things that we want to do. But, you know, we can't do that. And just like Jesus wasn't brought down to the worldly ways when he was here and he walked this earth. You know, he had his own way and he had his own mission. And he didn't let anything stand in the way of that. You know, and he didn't run away from those things. You know, he met them head on and he knew what he had to do and he knew what he was here for. You know, you read this and you think about it and you think about how selfish the world has become today. You know, most of the times we're worried about ourselves. You know, we're worried about me. You know, we want to take care of ourselves. You know, and sometimes we need to think about how unselfish he was when he came to this earth and the things that he done, right down to hanging on that cross. You know, and he was still unselfish. So, we think about it and we look at it, and you know, some wonder, you know, what Jesus was really doing here and what those things really meant. But you know, when you get right down to it, basically he was praying. You know, as we've already talked about, even though those things he was going through and the suffering he was going through, he still had the presence of mind to pray to his Father, or pray to the Father. You know, for forgiveness for those people. You know, one of the Romans, back in that time, the Romans worshipped revenge as one of their gods. They had many gods, but revenge was one of their gods, and they were usually constantly waging war on some of those countries over there that had done them wrong, or they thought had done them wrong. But they were always seeking revenge for something. And so many of the Jews back in that time felt the same way. You know, their law was kind of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You know, and that was the way they looked at things. But as I said, Jesus didn't think that way. He didn't think the way everybody else thought. You know, no one else would have ever thought about, you know, praying for those around them while they was hanging on that cross. You know, they wouldn't have been worried about those around them, worried about anybody else but themselves. You know, have you ever thought about, too, what kind of person ever came up with the crucifixion? You know, what kind of mind actually came up with that? To nail someone to a cross and let them hang there and die a slow death? I've wondered sometimes, you know, just what kind of people think up those kinds of things. You know, we don't watch them a lot, but they have all these horror movies that they come out with nowadays. As I said, we don't watch them. We don't We don't care to watch too many of them. But, you know, when you think about those things, think of some of the things that they come up with today that in movies and horror movies and things that they show people going through, but, you know, you often, or I do, I often wonder, you know, what kind of person can think up those kinds of things and those kind of horrible things that they show them doing to other people. But, you know, just like thinking about that, you know, who thought up the idea of hanging someone on a cross, you know, nailing their hands and feet. As I said, watching them die a slow death, hanging there on the cross. But you know, as Jesus hung there, and he was going through that experience, and as we said, he begins to pray. Now here, if you think about it, and I've read some of it, and I wouldn't say it to be 100% sure, but what I've read and what I can understand, they claim Jesus spoke 7 times while he was hanging on the cross. And I don't know exactly how many times he said it, but, you know, when you read this and you look at it, it's kind of in a verb tense, the way that they put it, the way that it's wrote, and that could just be the way that it's written here in the Bible, but, you know, we don't know how many times he asked his Father for forgiveness for those around him, or, you know, he could ask 3 or 4 times, I'm not sure, but, you know, that was one of the things that he was worried about. You know, and I'm not 100% sure, you know, who exactly he's asking forgiveness for. I don't know if it was everyone around him, if it was some certain people that was around him, but if it was just the ones that put him there, so many things that happened to him at that time, you know, he was whipped, you know, he could have been praying for them. He could have been praying for the ones that had put the crown of thorns on his head. But I'm sure he was probably praying for all of those. All the ones around him. You know, they were even those that I don't know if you could imagine, but if you think about hanging there and you're hanging on the cross and you're dying a slow death and you look down and some of the people around you are casting lots for your clothes. You know, what kind of experience that must have been for him to see those things. But as I said, still have the presence of mind to ask God to forgive those people. You know, as we go through this life, you know, many times we get caught up in worrying about ourselves. We get caught up, you know, worrying about what we want and things that we're worried about. You know, many times we forget others around us, and we forget, we even forget sometimes our fellow Christians around us. That, you know, if we forget that, you know, sometimes they need help and we need to be worried about them. Sometimes before we worry about ourselves. But, you know, in this world today, that's not a common practice. You know, as Jesus hung on that cross and he paid the price for us, and, you know, he paid that price and so that we could have forgiveness, so that we could have the opportunity to be forgiven of our sins and washed in his blood. And, you know, when he goes on here and he talks about, you know, in that same sentence, he says, "For they know not what they do." Now, I'm not sure that Jesus was just excusing them for not knowing what was going on or what the situation was. You know, I'm sure that it didn't matter to him if they knew who he was or not. But I'm sure some did or some had a good idea, but you know, there's people in this world today who think we're better off not knowing him. Not knowing him. You talk about spreading the word, and there's people that take the word even over into other countries and try to teach people. You know, there's people who go so far as to say, you know, that those people are better off not knowing. Because if they don't know Him, then they don't have to abide by His commandments, and they don't have to live the way He has laid out for them to live. But, you know, no one's better off not knowing Him, for sure. Everyone needs that opportunity and should have that opportunity. Let's look over into Acts. Acts in chapter 3. Again, reading verse 17. Chapter 3 and verse 17. And this is after Jesus has been crucified, and this is Peter preaching a few days afterwards. And beginning here in verse 17, he says, "And now, brethren, I want that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers, for those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." You know, Peter goes on to tell him here, you know, he said, "You may not have known what you've done." He kind of says what's done is done, but he says now it's time to make those things right. You know, now it's time to repent of those things. You know, even though Jesus prayed for their forgiveness while he was hanging on the cross, you know, they still had to want that forgiveness. And they still had to ask for that forgiveness themselves. You know, that's one thing that God won't do. He's not going to force it on us. He's not going to make us ask for it. You know, it's up to us to make that decision and to come to Him and to ask for forgiveness. The same as it was for them. You know, they had to come and themselves and repent of those things that they had done. Let's look back into Matthew in chapter 27 again. I'm begin reading in verse 48 this time. Matthew chapter 27, let's begin in verse 48. "And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many." You know, we have to remember what that symbolized, why he had to go to that cross, and why those things had to be fulfilled. Because without it today, you know, we wouldn't have the hope of eternal life. We wouldn't have the hope of being able to come to Him and repent of our sins and be washed in His blood and realize that, you know, He didn't go to that cross for nothing. To realize that we have our part to do. You know, I'm sure if you think about it also, it's probably hard for God to stand there or to look down on those things that went on in that time. You know, to allow His Son to be put through those things and to be nailed to that cross and go through that pain and suffering. I'm sure anyone here this morning as a parent would know that that had to be a terrible situation and an awful thing to have to sit and watch. But, you know, eventually one day He's going to get His revenge on this world. You know, He's going to send His Son back to this earth. You know, and God's wrath is going to be unleashed on this world. and on all those that don't know Him and have not come to Him and asked Him for forgiveness. Now, we don't know how long that'll be. Many people today trying to figure it out and trying to pinpoint it and put a date on it, but you know, there's no one here on this earth that knows or anyone that has a clue when you get right down to it. But you know, it's going to happen one day. He's going to come back and He's going to get His revenge on those that don't know Him. So if you're here this morning and you don't know Him and you haven't come to Him and obeyed the gospel, you know, and you haven't obeyed the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, or maybe you have done that in times past, but have just strayed back into the world, allowed this world to pull you back in. You know, as I said, sometimes we go through this life and we do things and we do them without even realizing at the time the things that we've done. In those times, and when we do realize those things, you know, it's good to step back and take a look and remember Jesus hanging on that cross. And remember that He had the presence of mind to ask forgiveness for those around Him, even though He was going through those things and going through that situation. So, if you're here this morning and you're subject to the gospel call in either way, I ask you to come. We sing the song, so they can.